Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. All of my guests have interesting subjects, no two of which are related to each other. My next guest is an expert in identifying fraud and scams. Con artists can manipulate every human need and desire. We're going to learn how not to fall victim to these scams. And if you're interested, you can always call in and join the conversation at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Attorney Stephen J. Wiseman is a general law practice specializing in estate planning and is an expert in identity theft and other scams. In addition to practicing the law, Steve has a talk show host in Boston Radio, WRKO, from 1982 to 1999. He now provides weekly legal commentaries on the nationally syndicated Doug Steffen Good Day Show. He's also taught at the University of Massachusetts, Curry College, Boston University. Presently, he's the senior lecturer at Bentley University. Steve is the author of four books, including 50 Ways to Protect Your Identity and Your Credit, Boomer or Bust, and The Truth About Avoiding Scams. Steve joins us from Massachusetts. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
Good. It's good to be with you. I do have a bit of a disclaimer. Although I taught at all those universities, I teach now at Bentley, but it's the first university I ever actually set foot on because for UMass Boston and Curry College and the others, I taught through their prison education program.
Ah.
So I taught, I used to jokingly say, I taught con law to cons, and I learned as much as I taught teaching in the prisons.
Well, that is an interesting bit of background, Steve. But your expertise from not only that prison teaching but others is scams and frauds. So
they've
been a part of history ever since the dawn of time. And this is something that I found interesting in my research. According to the Federal Trade Commission, every year more than 10% of Americans lose a total of $1 billion to scams. And interestingly enough, victims, really, the most common age group for victims is 25 to 44 years old. Now, that's interesting. Everybody knows about the high-profile scams like Bernie Madoff. I mean, they capture our attention, and you know, we look at Bernie Madoff and we go, how could those people possibly have fallen victim to that? But the fact is that a clever con artist really can manipulate you. And as much as we rightfully deplore the con artist's actions, we've got to recognize that they're very clever, and we've got to defend ourselves. So if you've written this book, is there anything truly new under the sun when it comes to cons and to scams, or are we just rehashing all of the old scams from the beginning of time?
Well, you know, we really are. But they take on new aspects, particularly the Internet has just been a boom for many businesses, particularly that of scam artists. But I'll give you an example about how old some of the things are. The Nigerian letter of today is just a revision of an old scam that used to be called the Spanish prisoner scam. And in the Spanish prisoner scam, what would happen is you would be told that there was a Spanish nobleman who was being held hostage. And if you could help pay some of the ransom, you would get richly rewarded, as well as you would also get the nobleman's daughter in marriage. So you don't get the daughter in marriage with the Nigerian letter scam, but so many of these scams, including the Ponzi scam, which still works, and that's part of the thing. As much as we know better, you know, scam artists, they're the only criminals that we call artists, and it's because they're good at what they do.
They are, and it's interesting that they're just rehashing these old schemes over and over again. But what makes it even more interesting and disturbing to me is that the largest group of victims is between the ages of 25 and 44 years old. It's not the lonely, shut-in, elderly person at home who's just looking to talk to somebody who calls on the phone. I mean, what makes us as 25 to 44-year-olds susceptible to scams?
We think we know better. And that's part of the problem, and you alluded to the fact of the Bernie Madoff victims, and I've discussed this a lot on television, on radio, and one of the things that we point out, yeah, there's some basic bits of information. So like with Bernie Madoff, one of the things was you never want to invest with one person who is both the investment manager and the custodian. And so he's holding your money and investing your money. You want those two roles to be divided, and generally they are, and it gives you a great deal of protection. We would think anyone would know that, but we don't. And we all end up becoming too trusting. And my motto is, trust me, you can't trust anyone. And so, unfortunately, we give a little bit too much trust. We invest in things. We deal with things that we think we're smarter than we are. And that leads to problems.
It does. Now, Steve, it's interesting, too, that the FTC has come out with these statistics about 10% of Americans lose more than $1 billion to scams each and every year. Just how accurate are those fraud statistics? And the reason that I ask, I think it's probably underreported because many victims don't want to report the crime because it's humiliating.
Yeah, and actually, you took the words right out of my mouth, Bill. I really very much agree with you on that. This is a low figure, particularly when you're talking about the elderly scams. And the elderly do get scammed a lot, partly because it's like the old motto about why did the bank robber rob banks, because that's where the money was. A lot of scam artists go after the elderly, sometimes the elderly not just because they have money, but maybe a bit more trusting. Are sometimes a little bit isolated in society. But here's why it may be underreported, particularly with them, and it carries to other segments of the population. When an elderly person realizes they've been scammed, it just makes them feel, as you say, humiliated, embarrassed, and maybe it's just one more indication that they've lost a little bit off the fastball. Well, the bottom line is it can happen, as we've seen with the Bernie Madoff scam, to anyone. Bill Gates has been scammed. I mean, very, very intelligent people fall victim to scams. So it's important to report it, but a lot of us are embarrassed and don't do that.
We're talking to attorney Stephen J.J. Weissman, everybody, author of the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams. And in that answer, Steve, you say that Bill Gates, the chairman of Microsoft, has been scammed?
Oh, yeah. And this was one of my, he was a victim in one of my favorite scams of all time. And this was there was a dishwasher in New York, Abraham Abdullah. And what he did was he posed as a Sprint executive, and he contacted a detective firm in Texas saying he needed to do background checks on company employees. And he was asking this detective agency for their rates and their license as if he was screening them. Well, they gave him information, but he used that information to represent himself as a private investigator. And using this information, he was able to go to the credit rating bureaus and get the data there on whoever he wanted. Now, what he did then was he strolled down the corner to the drugstore and bought a copy of Forbes magazine's issue that had the 400 richest people in America, and off he went. He stole from Bill Gates. He stole from Paul Allen. He stole from Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, Ross Perot. $80 million later, he was caught. But it's easy for anybody to be scammed.
Wow, that's incredible. Even the smartest, wealthiest people in this country have been scammed.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, let me turn to another problem that we are having here in the United States, and that's the modern pariah of identity theft. How is identity theft different from scams, and what are some of the things we need to watch out for there?
It's a variation on scams, and it's particularly difficult on people because with identity theft, and it comes in many variations, we have even issues of medical identity theft where someone is accessing your medical insurance and they use that. The real problem there is your medical records can be corrupted and have the wrong information in your medical record from the person who's stolen your medical record. So you've got that as a problem. You've also got the problems of when someone steals your identity, it affects your credit rating. And in affecting your credit rating, it may seem like maybe just borrowing money, but it also can affect employers look at your credit rating to see whether you're going to get a job, whether you're going to get a mortgage, whether you're going to get a loan, whether you're going to get insurance. And it's also very, very difficult to fix. So identity theft is not just a small thing. It's a huge, huge industry in the con man world.
Wow. We're talking to attorney Steve Weissman, everybody, author of the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams. And Steve, I have to ask you, both as an attorney and an expert on scams, why haven't the laws caught up to some of these scams? If some of these scams have been around for centuries, why haven't the laws caught up?
You know, part of it is It's more difficult now, and one of the things is there are a lot of scams that come from overseas. There are a lot that come from Eastern Europe and Russia. There are a lot that come from Nigeria, and it is taking a great deal more cooperation in international law enforcement than we presently have. That also ties in with so many scams are now tied to the Internet, it can be very, very difficult to locate and track down the scam artists themselves. So unless you get to the big, high-profile scams, the Bernie Madoff-type scams, a lot of them just overwhelm the capabilities of law enforcement.
Ah, well, that's very well said. We're talking to Steve Weissman, everybody. Steve, you've written this book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams. What do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Well, you know, there's a story I tell in one of my books, and it had to do with when I was teaching in prison. And there was a student who was serving two consecutive life sentences, which meant that after he died, he would start his second life sentence. And when he was sentenced to that, he yelled at the judge, "How do you expect me to do two consecutive life sentences?" And the judge said, "Just do the best you can." And that's what I'm trying to do, is get people to be able to do the best they can. It is very difficult to totally avoid identity theft and scams and be out in the world today. But what I'm trying to do is let them know that that helping hand is at the end of your own arm, and there are things that you can do to minimize your chances of being scammed, things to look out for.
All right. And, Steve, what did you get out of writing the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams?
You know, I learned a lot. It has helped me. I'll give you an interesting basic one, and this is something I suggest to everyone, and it's called a credit freeze. And this helps a great deal to protect you from identity theft. The real harsh effects of identity theft is when someone steals your identity and then can access your credit and use that to buy all kinds of things, and your credit gets destroyed and you have to fight back. Well, they can get at your credit report if they get your Social Security number or other information, but there is a tool, and it's a very simple economic tool called a credit freeze. And this is something that you can arrange with each of the credit reporting bureaus. And there is a PIN that locks your credit away. And so if someone manages to get the information and be able to seemingly have access to your credit report, they will not be able to, because they won't have your PIN. And as long as you can do that, you can keep yourself from becoming a victim. So that's a simple thing that we talk about in the book and on my website, stevelaw.net, that people can do to help protect themselves.
And Steve, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being our guest. We've been talking to attorney Stephen J.J. Weissman about his latest book, The Truth of Scams. Steve, we'll talk to you down the road.